Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk jumps on right now. He's brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, before we dive into everything Steelers and NFL related, we were watching something on Pro Football Talk, I believe, yesterday in the back, and it was you conducting an interview in a matching bucket hat and large gold chain. And I was just kind of like passing through, and I just made a mental note, ask Mike, what was the purpose of the bucket hat and large gold chain?
Well, on Wednesdays usually, but this week it was on Tuesday, Michael Hawley from NBC Sports Boston co-hosts with me, and we tripped over some Run DMC lyrics accidentally a couple of weeks ago, and that became a whole Run PFT thing. One of the guys in the back put together a Photoshop of Hawley and me as Run DMC, so it was about $50. I'm actually wearing the jacket today because I was a little chilly in my office, and you know, what the hell? I already spent the $30 on the jacket. I may as well use it. And yeah, so I went with the chain, the glasses, the bucket hat. He did the same thing. So it was Halloween 2 days early. That's the explanation. That's all I can offer to defend myself. I know it was a rough look, but we had fun.
Well, no, I think I have an idea for you now. If you want to make money in the bootleg t-shirt game, you get that old Run DMC with the bar on top, the solid bar on the in the bottom, and then Run and PFT. Start selling them. Make a killing. I'll accept pepperoni rolls as my payment for this idea, Mike. I think it would be all fair here.
I am a stickler for not infringing on copyrights. I see so many, and don't get me started, I see so many groups out there that will just say, the hell with it, we're going to sell whatever we want, and if somebody wants to sue us, they can sue us. That's not how we do business. Otherwise, I would do it.
Moving on then to the Steelers. I'm interested that this happened today. Ben Roethlisberger, he went on his podcast, and he was largely praiseworthy of the Steelers' offense. He had a lot of nice things to say, but writ large, he said, kind of wait till they see a good defense to see how they hold up against a really good pass rush and a really good secondary. And it has all of us scratching our heads because they've seen, I think it is five of the NFL's top 16 scoring defenses so far. The Jets were a really good defense. Steelers scorched them. Are you of the opinion that this group with Russell Wilson might actually be for real on that side of the ball, or do you need to see more proof of concept from them?
No, I think that they are playing Steeler football and that Russell Wilson fits in a very good way what the Steelers are trying to do. Throw the ball downfield. When you see him throw those balls down the field, even if they aren't caught, the threat of that helps you do everything else you're trying to do underneath. And they haven't had that since Roethlisberger retired. And I'll be more blunt and say since whenever Roethlisberger started to lose it and they wished he would retire and he didn't, because by the last year they made him an offer they hoped he wouldn't accept and he did. They were ready to move on then. They finally got to the point. Have good quarterback play from the standpoint of getting the ball down the field. And you see it with George Pickens. Even if he's covered to him, and it's spilling over to the other receivers. Yeah, they're kind of covered. Throw it to them. Trust them to go catch the ball. I think it empowers them, and it elevates the offense. And I think that, you know, at 6-2, well, they got 9 games left. You go 5-4 down the stretch. That's 11-6. That's a good enough season to get to the postseason. The question is, can they win in the postseason? We've seen them get there with substandard teams. This team, I think, is going to be better equipped to win when they get to January, and I think they we'll get to January, and we'll see what they do in the wild card round.
One thing we're still talking about here, even as other names come off the board, one guy that they were by NFL rules prohibited from trading for, and they wouldn't have done it anyway because he ended up on bad terms here, but Diontae Johnson goes to Baltimore in a deal that's getting, I think, panned universally, the Panthers side of it, like a comically lopsided deal there, it seems. Do you think that the Steelers, based on what you've seen, need to still be in that wide receiver trade market?
That deal is so bad that if the Ravens would win the Super Bowl, it would basically be a flip-flop of two draft picks because it's a
how does that okay? How does that deal get made? Forget about my question. How on earth does that deal get made then? Because you just said it perfectly there. That just seems like the GM in Carolina shouldn't even be allowed to make a deal that bad.
Yeah, and you can't vote on the trade like you can when you're in a fantasy football league. Wouldn't that be great if all the other teams could vote on whether or not a trade is allowed to go through? But teams, and that's why they have a deadline, because once you get past the deadline, you can have buddies doing favors for buddies and just doing these horrible deals to help a team load up. But it's not a great deal for the Panthers, but they move on And we don't know what was going on behind the scenes, if he was being a problem there and they just realized we got to move forward. Let's get whatever we can. And my guess is they tried to shop him elsewhere. The Ravens are like the Steelers. They hang around and wait for a bargain. They don't get desperate. They don't like to give up future assets to get a player. So my guess is that the Panthers exhausted every possible option before they recognized we're just going to take what we can get here from the Ravens. And I suspect the Steelers are going to be looking for that same kind of deal. Let's just sit back and wait and see, and maybe there'll be a team out there that is willing to basically hand us a guy, whether it's Adam Thielen, if and when he's healthy, and you know they only got 5 days, 6 days before the deadline closes, but Mike Williams' name is still being mentioned. There's multiple teams out there that should be looking for receivers, and the Steelers, since they have a bye this week, it gives them a chance to really take a strategic look at everything, not distracted by a game coming up. Coaching staff can get involved. Maybe they can find somebody.
Cooper Kupp seems definitely off the market because that team might actually just go out and screw around and win the NFC West at this rate.
Oh, you're right. And it's funny how they tried to put the toothpaste back in the tube. They were shopping him two in a row between a Sunday and a Thursday. They're 3-4. They're right there. The NFC West is there for the taking. They have their best receivers back. They're going to get healthy. I don't know how healthy they can stay. But all of a sudden, it's like, oh, no, this is all irresponsible reporting. We were getting phone calls. We weren't trying to shop them. And they were. If they had lost those two games last week, that's when you fold the tents. That's one of the benefits of having the trade deadline where it is now, the Tuesday after week 9. Teams have enough time to come to the conclusion as to whether or not there's a fork stuck in their chances for this year. And then they go forward and explore flipping guys for assets that will help them get better down the road.
Mike, I'm sorry if your dog that was hanging out in there did not like that last question of mine. I thought I heard a bark in response.
She's out in the hallway, but yeah, I think she wants to go out front and run around. I think that's her bark when she wants my wife to take her out front.
I feel like this is a kind of thing that only happens to the Steelers. Have you ever seen a situation like what arose with that George Pickens play? Not the one that got called back because of a face mask, but the same foot down twice and the other foot never touching and the touchdown being no good as a result. And has the NFL ever even had cause to think about changing that rule at all to be just, hey, you somehow get 2 feet or 1 foot down twice, it's the same thing?
It really is one of the most fundamental differences between college and pro football. One of the first rule differences I became aware of when I was watching both levels of football back when I was a little kid. 1 foot is good for college, 2 feet in the NFL, but it's not 2 feet. It's both feet. We went and checked the rule book right away. It's not two, it's both. So you can basically, and this is how ridiculous the rule is if you play it out to the extreme, you could catch a pass and you could pogo stick on one leg all the way down the field. And if you never put the other foot down, it's not a catch. And that makes no sense. But here's the reality. Everybody knows the rule. And everybody knows that you've got to control your body and contort in a way to get both feet down. We see receivers do that all the time. We've seen Pickens do it before. You just got to get that left leg down. That's all he's got to do. That he had plenty of time to get the left leg down. He just didn't. And it's got to be second nature to get both of those feet down and complete the catch. So it's on him because we all know the rule. There is no 1 foot twice. It's both feet. And until both feet are down, there's no catch.
Mike, what is the Halloween candy you would have been coveting when you were going trick-or-treating, and what tomorrow is the one that you're going to hope is... are you even putting putting candy out? I mean, where you live, are you getting trick-or-treaters? What's going on here? What's the situation?
We live at the top of a hill, and it's not a smart place to trick-or-treat if you're trying to maximize your candy collection because you want to have a high concentration of houses. I joke, after we moved here 10 years ago, if anybody actually walks up this hill, I will give them a $100 bill, and nobody took me up on it. That has been rescinded. We're close enough to Pittsburgh and the listening area that somebody may get some ideas.
You might see my kids showing up at your doorstep.
We get nobody. My wife actually delivers candy to the kids that live down the street. They don't even come up.
What's the Mike Florio A1 candy? What's the number one? What's the top draft pick?
My taste changes all the time. I go from Skittles to Starburst to Snickers to peanut M&Ms to the coffee M&Ms, which are really good.
Coffee?
But the old standby is Snickers. My mom used to have a bag of the fun-size Snickers at any given time in the house, and she would hide them so she could enjoy them, and I would find them. And if I found them, it was open season. So I still have a little nostalgia for the Snickers, which has never changed. 50 years. It's the same damn candy. Isn't it great to have that kind of consistency in life.
That's how you know you've got a terrific product right there, Mike. Thank you.
All right, thanks.